Welcome to the Don Smith Show, where it's okay to be a conservative. And now here's your host, Don Smith.
Hey, thank you, Brad Smith, for that great introduction. And thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in today for another Don Smith Show, where it's always okay to be a conservative. Hey, we've got a great lineup on the program here today. We've got Mr. Roger Aronoff and, of course, our good friend Richard Barris. He is the editor of PeoplesPunditDaily.com. We're going to spend some time going through the two nights of... what is the best way to describe this? What we watched for two nights, but maybe this. Well, now hang on, maybe this. I don't know, it's not playing anyway. I think that best sums it all up for all of us. It's just incredible to watch these people on the stage. We'll make some points on that. And what we want to really get into is, you've all heard the clips, right? And if you watch the debates, you know what we saw. And again, that best described it. But we want to talk about some of the things that nobody seems to be talking about since these debates. And I think there's some really key takeaways, again, that I don't think anybody else is covering. And you'll get it here. So a lot of stuff to cover here. We've got two great interviews coming up. Also want to mention that we are going to be in a two-week, I guess, hiatus, they call it, after this week. So we've got NASCAR race next weekend. And then the following weekend, we're going out to Montana to hang out with some great Americans, General Paul Vallee. So we'll be spending some time with him and other great Americans out there as well. It's a fundraising event for equines, so the use of equines to help veterans with PTSD. So really important cause. Really looking forward to spending a weekend with my good friend, General Paul Vallee. So a lot of stuff to cover here. Just 2 hours to do it, folks. You know what time it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
You know, so we saw two nights worth of 10 people trying to out-crazy each other. Let's not beat around the bush here. It's gotten to the point of insanity. Let's just talk about how far this is going, because I think the most impactful part of the second debate anyway was the raise your hand, and they did it on the first night too. So I mean, it was everybody. It was a consensus. It was unanimous that illegal aliens should get free health care. Look at how the media. See, now here's what we call an indicator, right? So you've got all the candidates up there. They've got their hand up, and, oh, yeah, we're covering those illegals. Then you had the next day, and they came out because there was some headlines that were – even other liberals were saying this might be a bridge too far. We might be jumping the shark here. But listen to how they're spinning this now. So now it's – because it's always about – you know this. Liberals do crazy things, and then it's about how conservatives are reacting to the crazy things that the liberals did. Because then that takes the spotlight away from them, and it's about how we're mean and we're intolerant and all these other things. You know how it works. Basket full of deplorable stuff. So here you've got them come out the next day, and you've got headlines out there, and you've even got other liberals going, I don't know if that's really a winning message there. So now the spin is that nobody said that they wanted free health care for illegals. No, you're misunderstanding. You're completely taking it. What? That's right. Out of context. I love that. Love that phrase. So you're taking it out of context, which, by the way, how do you take people raising their hand to a direct question? How do you take that out of context? I don't know. I guess that's another show. So now the spin is this. The spin is nobody said that. Nobody said they were going to give them free health care. What they're saying, what they said. Now, did you hear him say this? No, of course, because they didn't say it. What they said was they would allow illegals, undocumented newcomers, they would allow them to buy into the system. See, now, here's the fascinating part of this. They just said that they would allow them to buy into it, right? So they're going to let them to buy into a what? That's right, a free program. how do you buy into a free program? I'd like somebody to ask that question, but they will not do that. But yeah, if it's free, there's no buy-in. Nobody buys in. That's kind of the whole point of free. Anywho, amazing. Just the way they try to spin this. But here is the indicator part of this. Obviously, the polls really didn't go well. See, now, okay, when Democrats do debates, and we do this sometimes too, but they always do this. When they have a debate or something major that happens with their candidates, they pull together these little focus groups. You know, you've seen them on Fox. Again, we do it sometimes too. The Frank Luntz, one example that does this. So they pull these focus groups in and they say, geez, what did you think about this? Here's my guess. And it's a very, let's call it an educated guess. They didn't like that. The average middle American, middle class working person didn't like that. Number one, they don't want to lose their health care. You know who really doesn't want to lose their health care? The unions. See, this is a huge, huge problem for one of their, well, it's a big part of their base, which is unions. See, because unions, they negotiate things, and they kind of like what they got, and they don't want somebody to take it away and be put on to remember Richard Trumka, remember AFL-CIO? So Trumka comes out, and this was after the passage of Obamacare, and he laughed, and he mocked the conservatives, and he was bragging on Nancy Pelosi, how she crammed Obamacare down our throats. About a year and a half later, he was on TV going, wow, I think maybe they crammed it down our throats because, like, we don't like this. Because that's when the Cadillac taxes, and they realized all this. Well, they thought they were going to get a pass on that, right? They thought that Obama would go, oh, don't worry about it. We just said that. And no, he actually did it. So they put the Cadillac tax on these union members. So unions are not fans of this. And I would think deep down the unions really don't want cheap illegal labor coming over here. I don't know, just a thought. Maybe not. Maybe they do like it. But just to watch this and to watch how they spin it. And again, now it's about how we're reacting to it. And nobody said they could buy into it. Joe Biden said that illegals are already buying into it. He said these illegals, they're paying for Social Security. They're paying payroll taxes. Did you know that? Did you know that they're paying Social Security and payroll taxes? See, this is one of the biggest lies out there, but let's really break it down, because there probably really are some who are paying Social Security and are paying payroll taxes. If you're doing that, you're not only here illegally, you've illegally stolen somebody's identification. You've stolen somebody's Social Security number. See, because there are systems in place where they'll find this and they'll say, hey, well, this is not a good Social Security number. And they'll dig into it and they'll find out you're illegal, and then the company's got to let you go. That should be enforced so much more, but it already is enforced in some places. So if you are really paying payroll taxes, if you're really getting a payroll check, then you stole somebody's Social Security number, right? I mean, this is not complicated. This is like whenever I hear people talk about it, they say, well, you know, some of these illegals, they're serving in the military. What? Does this sound like a good idea to anybody, right? So, I mean, I guess God bless him for the patriotism, and you know me, I'm not going to trash on veterans or active duty military, but maybe illegals shouldn't be in the United States military. I'm just saying, maybe they might go in and maybe not have the best intentions, right? I think we all remember kind of what the Fort Hood thing, right? So if it's true, and these people truly are paying Social Security and payroll taxes, then somebody needs to do something about that, because they've stolen somebody's Social Security number. Not complicated. So unions aren't going to like this. The unions don't like the Green New Deal, because you know what happens with the Green New Deal? A lot of Green New Union people get out of work. They're put out of work, right? Because Green New Deal means like less jobs. I know they want to tell you that it doesn't, but it absolutely does. I remember a segment, remember this, when Obama talked about how he had created all these green new jobs, and then they had the thing on, and they had the people on there in front of Congress, and they said, okay, so tell me about these green new jobs. And it turned out that they really actually weren't green new jobs. They were just jobs that used to exist that they turned into something else. Right. Remember, it was if you were an antique dealer, that's a green job. If you were a bus driver, come on, you people have seen these buses going down the street, right? spewing out big things of big black smoke. That's a green energy job. Let me just play. I just found the clip. Let me play a little bit of this for you. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you'll get the idea. Here it is.
Solar panels. Is that a green job?
I'll give that to
Mr.
Jack.
Mr. Galvin?
Mind.
We have a two-part definition.
We already had the briefing on that, so just answer the question.
So John,
if you're sweeping the floor in a solar panel production facility, is that a green job?
If you ask me for the number of healthcare jobs in the United States, I'll give you the employment from the healthcare industry.
Mr. Galvin, you did not want to come here as a witness. You are not a delighted witness. So let's go through this. I asked you a question. You know the answer. Would you please answer it? If you sweep the floor in a solar panel facility, is that a green job?
Yes.
Thank you. If you drive a hybrid bus, public transportation, is that a green job?
According to our definition, yes.
Thank you. What if you're a college professor teaching classes about environmental studies?
Yes.
What about just any school bus driver?
Yes.
What about the guy who puts gas in the school bus?
Yes.
How about employees at a bicycle shop?
I guess I'm not sure about that.
The answer is yes, according to your definition.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of them. What about a clerk at the bicycle repair shop?
Yes.
What about someone who works at an antique dealer?
I'm not sure about that either.
Answer is yes. Those are recycled goods. They're antiques. They're used. What about someone who works at the Salvation Army in their clothing recycling and furniture?
Right, because they're selling recycled goods.
What about somebody who opened a store to sell rare manuscripts?
What industry is that?
People sell rare books and manuscripts, but they're rare because they're old, so they're used.
Okay.
What about workers at a consignment shop?
That's a green job.
Absolutely.
Does the teenage kid who works full-time at a used record shop count?
Yes.
Sure.
How about someone who manufactures railroad rolling stock, basically train cars?
I don't think we classified the manufacture of rail cars.
48.8% of jobs in manufacturing rail cars counted, according to your statistics. About half of the jobs that are being used to build trains. Okay, how about, just one more here, what about people who work in a trash disposal yard? Do garbage men have green jobs?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize. The real last is, how about an oil lobbyist? Wouldn't an oil lobbyist count as having a green job if they're engaged in advocacy related to environmental issues?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So I lied. I couldn't stop it. It's like a train wreck. It's like watching the debates. It's a train wreck, and you just can't turn it off. Oh, my goodness. So this is what they did. So here was their big push. We've created all – let me be clear. I've created a lot of green jobs. No. You relabeled people who were already doing things as now doing green jobs. An oil lobbyist, folks. An oil lobbyist. How about a NASCAR driver? Is it, that's green, all right. How about a, it's unbelievable. How about an airline pilot? Unbelievable. But that's what they did, and they got away with it for the most part until at least that happened. So, so there you go. You know, one thing that I thought was really stood out, it really stood out in this debate was how far we've come. I mean, we hear this all the time, and just a few weeks ago, I don't know if you heard the clip, it was this was about the toothbrushes and supplying soap, and liberals were very concerned because this mass of people that are storming our borders, that are invading our country, that there's so many of them at this point that we don't have enough toothbrushes or toothpaste or soap or bed rolls, or people are sleeping on the floor. Right. Remember Jay Johnson, head of DHS under Barack Obama? He came on TV and he was, I give the guy all the credit in the world because he was honest about it. He said, man, a bad day when I was in charge was 1,000 people coming across the border illegally. Was 1,000 people coming across the border, that was a bad day. He said, I can't even imagine what it would be like to have 4,000 people a day. So when you hear these people talk about, well, they're not giving them toothpaste and enough soap and Imagine if you invited 20 people over for dinner and 80 showed up. Now, if you really want to make this more accurate than my dinner thing here, but just imagine that. You invite 20 people over to dinner, 80 people show up. What are you going to do? You probably didn't make enough food for 80 people, right? That's my point. So you don't have enough supplies. You don't have enough, in this case, enough food. Imagine if you didn't invite anybody over and 80 people showed up, because that's really what's going on in this country right now, right? 80 people show up at your door and they all want dinner. And you're like, but the point is this. So in this conversation, so you had somebody from the administration who quite honestly didn't do a very good job of really explaining the point of what's going on here and why this is a problem. Here's the clip. If you haven't heard this, here's the clip, and then I'll tell you how that relates to today.
It's within everybody's common understanding that, you know, if you don't have a toothbrush, if you don't have soap, if you don't have a blanket, it's not safe and sanitary. Well, wouldn't everybody agree to that? Do you agree to that?
Well, I think there's fair reason to find that those things may be part of safety.
Yeah, maybe. Are.
So what this devolved into, here are the judges saying, hey, you don't have enough toothpaste, enough toothbrushes. What she should have said was, Your Honor, we have four. I invited 20 people to dinner and 80 showed up. So, yeah, I didn't have enough roast beef for everyone. But the point was, this devolved into, because she had made the comment that this is a slippery slope thing. And instead of saying, again, that there's four times as many people, and yeah, we're not prepared for that, and no country should be prepared for 4,000 people illegally crossing their border every day. But she didn't make that point. So, you know, a little bit was on her. But the point was, people came out and said, what's this slippery slope thing? Well, it's this slippery slope thing. I mean, what are they talking about? They're talking about exactly what we watched Wednesday and Thursday night. Raise your hand if you think illegals should get free health care. Did you see anybody not raise their hand? I mean, Joe didn't seem to really know whether he did or not, and we'll get into his debate performance, which was wow, just wow. Talk about low energy. Joe, I think the president's got him nailed pretty good, but the point is, you had a whole stage full of people. 20 people over two nights said yes. My plan will allow illegals to get free health care. So to all the people that were asking when that clip was being live, when it was live and people said, well, it's a slippery slope, that's the slippery slope. See, the next thing is going to be, I think in the next debate, what they're going to have to do, see, they've gone as far as they can go with this cancel the student debt thing. So the first, I think what they're going to have to do now is they're going to have to say, okay, and this includes illegals, right? They've got to cancel their debt too. I think just nobody's really asked them that yet, but I think that will be a couple part of it. This is the slippery slope. How about everybody that crosses gets a brand new car? We'll do the Oprah thing. You get a car, you get a car, right? I mean, let's do that. What the heck? What else do they need? Why? I think we should go down. We should go down to Central America before they even leave. And we should say, what would you like? When you get to that border and you cross that border, what should we provide you? What do you need? Just give us the whole entire list, right? Because we're going to do this slippery slope thing here now for quite some time. But I want you to think about this. We had an entire stage who said they all supported free health care for illegal immigrants. This happened. This right here. I want you to listen to this. This happened 9 years ago.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal. Not true.
So that was Republican Joe Wilson yelling out, you lie. Now, here's the part of the story that was never covered. He did lie. See, the next morning, that was the State of the Union address. The very next morning, Harry Reid pulled a controlled the Senate at the time. They pulled the Senate together for an emergency meeting amongst Democrats. Why did they do that? This was the first thing in the morning. I'll tell you why they did it. Because what Joe Wilson said, you lie, because there's the president denying that, oh, this isn't going to give illegals free health care. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. Nobody would even say that you would do that. Folks, this was 9 years ago. The media was all over it. Oh, the crazy Republicans, they think that Democrats want illegals to have free health care. 20 people over two nights stood up on that stage, raised their hand and said, yes, illegals should get free health care. That is the slippery slope. That's a nine-year process. Okay, it's no different than medicinal marijuana. No, it's just about the kids and we've got to get them. No, it's about decriminalizing marijuana. That's what it was always about. Had nothing to do with medicinal purposes or that was the sell. Because what's happened in every state now where they've done medicinal marijuana, that's right, boop, then the next one, it's recreational use, right? So that's what it was always about. That's what it always will be about. But here you had people about 9 years ago who said this was crazy talk. Who wants free health care for illegals? Obama. They're accusing me of one. And it was true. So emergency session, the very next day, Harry Reid pulls the Democrats together, and they remove the language. Now, the language at the time, Obamacare was in the process and hadn't passed. So the language at the time said that there would no proof of citizenship would be required to participate in Obamacare. Folks, what does that mean? Yeah, right. That means that they would absolutely be eligible for Obamacare. And it would be illegal. It would be illegal to check their immigration status. Much like they're trying to do now with the census, right? It's illegal to check their status. We can't do that. But he did lie. And they mocked us. They mocked us. Oh, these crazy Republicans think that, wow. All 20 of them had their hands up. Think about that. 9 years, folks. This, when you hear the term slippery slope, there is a great example. And that was one of my big takeaways on this this whole thing. The other thing, look at the left. This is a group that worked very, very hard to decriminalize marijuana, okay? Fine. So they work hard to decriminalize. They're trying to, at the same time, criminalize just regular people. They want to criminalize, not regular people. I take that back. Class warfare. They want to criminalize rich people, right? People in positions of power, because they hate rich people in positions of power, yet every single person on that stage was a rich person with power. Yeah. So here you had Joe Biden. This to me, why people aren't talking about this, I have no idea. But we are going to talk about this here because it was amazing. It was amazing. Listen to Joe Biden. Now, again, we'll get more into that. We'll talk with Rich Barrison coming up in just a little bit about this. But Joe he doesn't look well. He looks very thin. He looks pretty pale. And he has no energy. He accidentally got energized a couple times and shut himself down. And we'll talk about that, too. And I think that is also something really important that I'd like to hear other people discussing, because I think that was important. Who does that? This is a guy whose entire life has been a politician. And he's all concerned about the, oh, my time's out. Oh, I'm sorry. Mid-sentence. Oh, I'm done. Oh, I'm sorry. One of the times was the time he got passionate. But I want you to hear what his answer was. Listen to this. This is on healthcare. So this is on illegal healthcare. They questioned, well, I don't think you had your hand up. Yeah, I did have my hand up. But listen to this.
Vice President Biden, I believe you said that your health care plan would not cover undocumented immigrants. Could you explain your position?
I'm sorry, I beg your pardon.
I believe at the show of hands, you did not raise your hand. Did you raise your hand?
No, I did.
Sorry. So you said they would be covered under your plan, which is different than Obamacare.
Yes, but here's
can you explain that change?
Yes. You cannot let, as the mayor said, you cannot let people who are sick, no matter where they come from, no matter what their status, go uncovered. You can't do that. It's just going to be taken care of, period. You have to. It's a humane thing to do.
It's the humane thing to do. See, we're back into the whole morality thing here again, right? It's a humane thing to do. No, it's not. Do you think if you go to another country, you go on vacation, should you be instantly covered when you step foot off on the plane into Paris or Germany? No, you're not covered, all right? But this is just insane. But the real thing there, what I saw, was a guy who, first of all, wasn't even paying attention. Vice President Biden, did you, you talking to me? The guy didn't seem to know whether he was foot or horseback, and this is a guy who wants to be president of the United States. This is a guy who's in Hillary's position last time. So he thinks it's his. It's like, I don't even really have to show up for these things. And we've seen this, right? He hasn't been showing up for a lot of their events, and just thinks he's just, yeah, let's just get this thing done and just give me the nomination and I'll move on. But this was the real part of this that I cannot believe that I haven't heard anybody talking about. Listen to what he says here.
The other thing is, folks, look, we can deal with these insurance companies. We can deal with the insurance companies by, number one, putting insurance executives in jail for their misleading advertising, what they're doing on opioids, what they're doing paying doctors to prescribe. We could be doing this by making sure everyone who is on Medicare, that the government should be able to negotiate the price for whatever the drug costs are. We can do this by making sure that we're in a position that we, in fact, allow people.
Okay, so let's take the end there first, right? So at the end, my time's up. Who does that? This is like his first, it's like Hillary. When we saw her on the stage, it was like it was the first debate she had ever been involved in. She's been doing it her entire life. Here's a guy who's been doing it even longer. My time's up. He wants to control the entire medical system. This is why they want state-run healthcare, because then they can tell you how to live your life. Hey, you can't have them big sodas. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, you can't. Oh, you got to. When you got to exercise. Anybody ever see 1994? Right? Huh? But here's the thing. 1984. Sorry. Oh my God. I'm a decade off. So. The first thing he says, he's going to put insurance executives in jail for misleading advertisement. Wow. Have you ever seen some of these, Liberty Mutual commercials, right? Candy bar commercials. We're now going to criminalize advertising. So if it doesn't meet Joe's standards, if he goes and uses a product and says, hey, this really doesn't work for me, you can throw people in jail now? Folks, this is scary stuff. One more time, just the beginning.
The other thing is, folks, look, we can deal with these insurance companies. We can deal with the insurance companies by, number one, putting insurance executives in jail for their misleading, misleading advertising, what they're doing on opioids, what they're doing paying doctors to prescribe. We could be doing...
Insurance companies pay doctors. In Medicare, who do you think pays the doctors? It's the government. So the government plays the roles of the insurance companies. He's going to put people in jail because misleading advertising, which I guess apparently now is a – we're talking about taking away the criminalization of crossing our border illegally. But now we're going to create some new criminal acts, which are going to be misleading advertising. That's it. You're in jail. He's going to put people in jail for the stuff they're doing on opioids. What are the insurance companies doing on – are they standing on the street corner handing out pills? See, I don't think they are. And he's going to criminalize paying doctors. Do you think Medicare – do you think the government pays any doctors for writing a prescription for opioids? I bet they do. But I guess this won't apply to them because, well, you know. Unbelievable. We are going to criminalize. There's a big push right now. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. Is that his name? Yeah. So he wants to put oil executives in prison. He wants to put oil executives in prison because, you know, they deny climate change and therefore they're the reason that you and I don't believe the scam. This is getting pretty scary. This is getting very scary. You had Hillary Clinton last time, gun manufacturers. You don't just go around putting people in prison for false advertising, for paying doctors, because that's like what the insurance companies are supposed to do, and the government does the same thing when it comes to Medicare and Medicaid. Put them in jail. Folks, this is a scary group. And this is why even on the left, you heard many people say the winner of the two debates was President Donald Trump, because these people are insane, completely whacked out. And come on, you didn't even have to watch the whole thing. You didn't have to watch it at all to know that they're crazy. And the entire party is bowing down to AOC because they don't want to get sideways with AOC because, whoa, one tweet from her, boy, and it's all over your career. She's the boss. She said it herself. She is the boss. And they better all figure that out, and I think most of them probably already have. So quick commercial break, folks. We will be right back after this.
In salute to those who've protected us and our families, we'd like to return the favor. Military veterans and their families get 30 days free and 15% off LifeLock identity theft protection.
Best sleep of your life. Sleep Number beds with Sleep IQ technology adjust any way you want it. The bed that moves you, only at a Sleep Number store.
Let's say you need to take care of legal matters. Wouldn't it be nice if there was an easier, less expensive option than using a traditional lawyer? Well, LegalZoom came up with a better way. We took the best of the old and combined it with modern technology. Together you get quality services on your terms with total customer support. LegalZoom documents have been accepted in all 50 states, and they're backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So go to LegalZoom.com today and see for yourself. It's law that just makes sense. Wouldn't it be nice if there was an easier, less expensive option than a traditional lawyer? At LegalZoom, you get personalized services for your family and your business that's 100% guaranteed. So go to LegalZoom.com today for personalized, affordable legal protection.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
All aboard!
Building owners, you got to clean up your act. You got to retrofit. You got to save energy. If you don't do it by 2030, there will be serious fines as high as $1 million or more for the biggest buildings. And this mandate is going to guarantee that we reduce emissions. We're going to ban the classic glass and steel skyscrapers.
Enough there that any other person who has engaged in those acts would certainly have been indicted.
In the fight not only to defeat Trump and his racism and his sexism and his homophobia, this is a time for the American people to come together in the fight for economic justice, social justice, racial justice, and environmental justice. And that is what this campaign is about.
I think most Americans, not just Democrats, would agree with it. Anybody who's got a half a brain agrees that there is climate change and that human activity has caused it. And we better do something about it or we're going to be cooked, or certainly our children are going to be cooked.
Just because I work at home doesn't mean I want to look like I do. That's why I'm building my corporate image with a Regis virtual office. I simply use one of Regis' 750 high-profile business addresses as my own. My calls are answered by a professional receptionist in my company's name. And when I need to meet, Regis offers conference rooms and furnished offices. With all this and more from just $150 a month, that works for me. So try it today, and you'll even get 1 month free. Just call 888-OFFICES or visit Regis.com. That's Regus.com.
Hi, this is former Congressman, Lieutenant Colonel retired Alan West.
Hi, this is Ben Shapiro, New York Times bestselling author of Bully.
Hi, I'm Charlie Daniels, and I'm on the Don Smith Show, where it is okay. In fact, it's wonderful to be a conservative.
welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a great Saturday so far. Coming up in just a few minutes, my good friend, Mr. Richard Barris, the editor of PeoplesPunditDaily.com. Coming up a little bit, we've got Roger Aronoff, and of course, we've got a lot of debate stuff yet to go through. And again, we want to focus on the things. How in the world is Fox News not talking about Biden wanting to put people in prison for misleading advertising? Seems to be, I don't know, something we might want to talk about. But let's talk about it right now with my good friend. He's the editor of PeoplesPunditDaily.com. His name is Richard Barris. Hey, Rich, welcome back to the show.
Hello, my friend. Thanks for having me back. How are you this week?
I don't know. I guess I think after two nights that we saw here, I guess I'm a little bit like this. And yourself?
I'm living the dream, buddy. Living the dream.
All right, so let's get right into this. And actually, before we get into the debate, because this is going to dominate our conversation here today, I want to kind of follow up on something we talked about last week. We were waiting for the Supreme Court and the big decisions. We had the gerrymandering decision, and then we had the non-decision, or whatever you want to call it, on the census question, which is just, to me, just insane to ask, be able to ask somebody whether they're an actual citizen or not. I think, I don't know, it seems kind of relevant when you're talking about doling out cash. But talk about how that ended up, and what do you see going forward on this?
Right. Well, the media reported this as a unanimous decision to and a defeat for the Trump administration. And as usual, you cannot really count on them to tell you the truth. The only thing unanimous about this decision was the background of it, and then whether or not that they had the basically that they had the authority to hear this case. And they did kick it back to New York, but that's where the anything about it being unanimous ends. So so you had people like Thomas who would have said that should be the end of it from here. So they didn't buy Wilbur Ross's explanation about the Voting Rights Act. They also, though, said they did not agree with the reasoning in the New York court. And that, by the way, the New York court should never have ordered the discovery when they did. But because they did, they were able to find a bunch of stuff that made the government's reasoning behind why they wanted to add the question a little bit more suspect. And they wanted to, basically said that agencies have these rules, these time periods for rules for a reason. So they didn't say the question cannot go on there. And then, in fact, read the majority opinion says that it's ludicrous to say it can't. It had been on there so many times, and the secretary was well in his authority to try to add a question like that. It's just simply that there is a process by which you have to go through this, and that they did not wait that that time period and did not identify the reasoning to their satisfaction. So, but again, the bottom line here is that if there is a 2020 census, which Trump is trying to hold off, if there is, it won't be on there, because just logistically and practically speaking, it's not. It's just too much time to do this, yep, to go through the motions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, kind of a punt there. And so let's get into this right now. Let's get into this debate.
Yeah.
And I want to start with this, because I think this really kind of set the tone. So first night for me, I don't know, it wasn't really that exciting. And the only exciting part was the situation with the microphones and the past hosts coming. I thought that was hilarious. I think that sums up MSNBC right there. But I think another thing that summed up MSNBC was the introduction to the second night. Now, so the second night to me, a lot more fireworks, a lot more confrontation, and just a little more interesting. But I want to play this, and I want to get your take, because I thought this really describes MSNBC, but not just MSNBC, the mainstream media. This is the actual introduction before they announce the candidates. Listen to this.
Nicole Wallace.
Look, I'm watching Kamala Harris, and I think Kamala can swing her arms against Trump and Barr and all that they've ushered in terms of lawlessness. I'm looking at Kirsten Gillibrand, and I think she could make a really compelling case about Donald Trump, the serial sexual assaulter. I mean, there are a lot of people up here who can take it to Trump, and I think the best thing the Democrats can do for themselves is let a thousand flowers bloom.
The serial sexual assaulter. This is the actual introduction, Rich, to a debate on national TV. What was your take?
Right. And then, after the debates, my take on it, telling everybody on social media is that I think it's probably best if the Democratic Party stops debating, maybe even pulls back on campaigning, and just lets the media try to argue their case for them, because this was bad. I cannot stress how, I know everybody, you know, they get into their little media back and forth, and they start, you know, a bunch of white elites in media start glamorizing one candidate or the other. They're completely out of touch with America, and the big picture slips by them. And the big picture here was, you know, I saw a thing from Politico. It really sums it up. She's sitting next in the crowd to people who are in attendance. Don, these are Democratic voters. And the girl turns to her friend. This is the second debate. The girl turns to her friend and says, I don't think we're in the Democratic Party anymore. Are you listening to this? I don't think I'm a Democrat. I mean, what do they believe? This is not the Democratic Party that I voted for my entire life. And the number one thing, and I was just talking, you know, in the queue about this, and the number one thing is that moment when they raised their hands for health care, taxpayer-funded health care for illegal immigrants. And here's why, and I'm writing an article about this to try to explain this and show what I mean and the data behind it over the last four election cycles. And now it'll be six by the time we get there. The voters that Democrats need to win in a truly competitive election, the voters that they need to win are true swing voters, and their target voter in that block are people who would say that health care is their top concern. And these are voters who went for Republicans in 2010 because they did not like Obamacare. They went back to Obama in 2012. Then they went back to Republicans in 2014, those who came out, and most of them stuck with Donald Trump in 2016. And these are the voters that slapped Republicans in the House in 2018, and then also in some of these other states where Republican Senate candidates really should have won in a blowout. But they, you know, it was a little bit closer, and that a lot had to do with incumbency there. But that's the difference between eking out a win in Florida and Trump taking the state by 3 points or 4 points. You know, I don't know about four, but 3 points. That's the difference between Obama plus two in Ohio and Trump plus nine. Okay. And that is a huge part. And for them to do that, those are people who would otherwise say, I could be open to a pathway to citizenship. I can understand some of the plight. These are not conservative voters in the sense that we think about them. They're not Trump, you know, diehard Trump supporters. But they're going to look up at that debate stage and they're going to say, what about my health care? What about my deductible? What about my premium payment? What about my children? And that is going to be devastating for them. And that is what I'm telling you. They're not particularly ideological. And they're compassionate people. But they're not going to go for this. I'm telling you, they're not.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about this, too, because one of the key things that any Democrat, whoever the nominee ends up being, one of the things that they have to do this election cycle when it comes down to the general election is they've got to get those states back, the Wisconsins, the Michigans, the Pennsylvanias, the Ohios. They've got to get those states back. This doesn't do that. This doesn't help them because those are the very people that you're talking about that say, "This, I must not even be a Democrat anymore because this is insane." These are the union people. Rich, we talked about this a couple times now.
That's right.
This is going to be their challenge because if you're a union member, you're very proud of the fact that you probably have better health care than the average American. You probably like your plan because it was negotiated. Even if you try to give a union member, you go to leadership and you say, hey, I've got this better health care plan, they're going to tell you to get out because they have their negotiated plan. That's all obliterated. They're going to completely obliterate this for the unions, and the unions are going to have the same health care that's going to be a couple steps down from what they've got now. Talk about the importance of that.
Right. I mean, it's one of the main reasons why they probably joined that union to begin with, Don.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they thinking about now? You know, what maybe doesn't their plan cover? What could they really see happen? Maybe what? Lower prescription drug costs? And right now, the only one who's talking about that is Donald Trump and the Republicans. The Democratic Party is talking about just free prescription drugs for people who came here illegally. I mean, I really don't think. And then, of course, you know, the default will be when, you know, elite white America in the urban centers, you know, are done fawning over Kamala Harris or whoever else is going to be the candidate du jour every time there's a snappy comeback line. When it hits them by surprise again, I guarantee you they'll go back to this. You know what? Those people are just racist. God, Did you know they were racist? I didn't know they were racist, but throw them in the basket with the rest of the deplorables, right? And it just, they have what, no ability to understand the plight of anybody else. And you were just saying that these are, look at Trump's margin among union voters in those states. That is why he carried those states. These are 80 plus percent white. Democrats have no room for error in a state like Ohio. They, if they want to take back something like Michigan, a state like Michigan or a state like Pennsylvania, I'm telling you, this is not the way to do it. 44 out of 54 counties in that state are Appalachia. You know, I mean, this is just, those are working people. And it's not, it has nothing to do with anything else other than the fact that that diminishes their standing as a citizen, and they're getting up every day and working. And for what? If people just want to give away what they're, meanwhile, nobody is talking about how they could possibly make their life better. So especially a union member who's now healthcare is on the line, maybe, and then your way of life is on the line because the other part of the platform in the party says to just get rid of your industry altogether. So, you know, between their environment policies and their healthcare policies, it's just not a good place to be. I was actually a little stunned, Don. I was stunned they came out this hard.
Yep, I did too. And I was stunned by the things that they didn't talk about. We'll get into that in a minute. But it seemed to be mostly, obviously, revolving around illegal immigrants. What can we do? What can we give away? And what can we do for illegal immigrants seemed to be the main theme. And I just might not be the best way to go, especially for the places where they need to win now. But let's talk about this, because last week I played the clip, and it was whoever it was, MSNBC, and they were defending Joe Biden. So they've got Bernie Sanders on, and it was that Rule, whatever her name is. So anyway, so defending Joe Biden, and they're kind of attacking Sanders, right? So they're like, oh, no, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. And they're explaining, just like you said, they could shut down the debates, they could stop campaigning and just let the media fight it out, because it is a full-on fight now. And I want to play this clip because this was some of the aftermath. So this is after the second debate. This is, I think, Donnie Deutsch and Lawrence O'Donnell. So this is MSNBC. And this is going to be the most interesting part of this to watch is the infighting that's going to take place between these people, because I think I think it's going to be really bad. And here's just a little sample of it. And I want to get your take on not just this clip, but how much worse is this going to get as we go forward? Because everybody's got their horse in this race, and there's 20 horses or 50 horses or however many we got. Now, check this out.
Can I just follow up on that, though, Diane? Yeah. Who could beat Trump? And did you see anyone on stage tonight that could beat Trump?
I'm still sticking with an idealized version of the Joe Biden we want, okay? If Joe Biden we want, and then you pair him with the right candidate, yes. I still, in my heart of hearts, don't see anybody on that stage tonight that would beat Trump.
Let's just identify this for what it is,
and then we have that
pure guesswork a year and a half away from
absolutely.
And so it has, and Donnie, I say this respectfully, zero value.
As I disagree. You know what? I disagree with that, Lawrence. It's understanding human behavior.
In a similar
don't tell
way,
me it has zero
has
value.
Zero value.
Don't tell me it has zero value. It's understanding human behavior.
It's a guess. And it's a wild guess.
It's understanding human behavior. And I guarantee you, 90% of our
audience. It's a wild guess. There's no science in it. There's nothing.
There's no science in it.
And no one can make it. You can put any name you want in the wild guess that you just made, and it doesn't make it
true. I am understanding with Donald Trump, the way he connects with this country and the strength he exudes. We need to exude a stronger strength. It's
this
not
is,
a policy
this is the
discussion.
Pure guesswork section of the discussion.
This is a guy who's done this for 30 years and watched human behavior.
Now then.
Rich, I had my popcorn and I got a whole box full of it left. This is going to be great to watch this going forward. Talk a little bit about that.
I mean, you know, he just didn't want to hear it. But actually, I mean, I cannot believe I have to say this, but I agree with him. And we have been, you know, we have spoken about this for years, Don. The fundamentals matter. Top lines of polling right now, have no early predictive value whatsoever. There are fundamentals that decide elections, and I'm stunned by how long I've been doing this. You know, you look at it a year down the road, 18 months down the road, and then when you're, you know, come November, whatever it is, 7th or whenever, whatever day election day falls on, then day after, you always look back, and we do it since we've been running the model in 2014. We always look back and we always say, what told the story, you know, what gave us the hint from the beginning? And the fundamentals are always there, and they're always there to slap you in the face. And that's what he's talking about, that basically if you stop and you just look back at the big picture, Lawrence O'Donnell wants, he's a wishful thinker. That's not analysis. That's his wishful thinking. That's supplanting, you know, sound analysis. And the bottom line is, there were issues that connected between Trump and the voter, Trump and the working American. And right now, you know, they're shining over Kamala Harris. What state is Kamala Harris going to flip on Donald Trump? Okay. Now, I know why they want Kamala Harris, because we've talked about this too. They think that she can run the full-blown racist campaign. In the event the economy stays strong, they're not going to be able to make this an economic campaign. So there are some in the Democratic Party who feel that Kamala is the best person to run that kind of an alternative campaign against him. And then you have people like we just heard who have an idealized version of Joe Biden. They're running off of Obama nostalgia, and they believe that they can connect with that working – he can connect with that working voter and pull that – that connection away from Donald Trump. And he, that's a big picture look at things, by the way. That is a very fundamental big picture look at this election. But look at the Joe Biden they just got. Now, I have been saying for weeks, shame on the people who pushed this man who is not up for this. I truly believe this. I saw him on his announcement day, barely made it down the ramp, Don. It's a ramp, not staircase, a ramp. He had a difficult time making it up and down. I shame on the people who pushed this man into this race, but they did it because they have this idealized version of him, and they're running off of Obama nostalgia. And I'm saying that that is, you know, that time has long come and gone. And the real Joe Biden is the one that we saw fail at this twice before. And there's a reason why he did. They're looking at Joe Biden as Obama's number two. And it may be that they built up this character of somebody who just does not exist on as a candidate. I'm talking about as a candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Rich, they're doing what was done to us. So I'm talking about what the establishment
That's
is
right.
doing to their voters. They're doing what the Republicans used to do to us. It's got to be John McCain because, man, he's just the only guy that can beat Barack Obama. He had no chance. Any Republican, I don't think in 2008 he had any chance of beating Barack Obama or whoever the Democrat was because of George Bush. That set the stage. But that's what they told us. It's got to be John McCain. Then it was 2012. I know you guys want a real fighter and a real conservative, but it's gotta be Romney, because if it's not Romney, we're gonna lose again. This time it didn't work. This time we fought hard enough, and all of a sudden, boom, here's this Trump guy, and our establishment said, all right. So yeah, we had number Trumpers, we had people that still to this day hate him, we got Bill Kristol's and all those kind of people, but the Republican Party got behind him and they said, okay, if this is who you want, this is the guy, and they supported it. They're not quite there yet, so they're still a little bit behind us, where the establishment saying it's got to be Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the only guy that can stand on that stage and go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump. Rich, that did not look like a guy who could stand on stage and go toe-to-toe against anybody.
No way. And you know what? The voters, that's been the number one question for me this cycle and what I've been looking at all along. The voters in the Republican Party and the independents who went over to vote in the Republican Party because of the excitement Donald Trump brought to that primary, which we do not see here. I don't care what people on television tell you, folks. It's not there. Not yet, anyway. It's just not there. You know, but the bottom line is Republicans, they forced it. They had to declare their independence and their sovereignty from their establishment. They had to take back their sovereignty, I should say. And the number one question for me this time around would be, would Democratic voters do that too? Or would they allow the media and their party establishment, who basically work hand in – not basically, they work hand in hand, folks, to tell you who to vote for. Or would they tell them who they wanted and make them listen like Republicans did in 2015 and then in 2016? And so far, the answer to that question is – they're going to follow the leader, because these polls are swinging with whichever way the media wind blows. And that very much reminds me of Republican primary 2012. Like you said, And by the way, not only did the establishment and the media tell Republicans how to vote, folks, but the polls did too. If you go back and remember, it was only McCain could beat Barack Obama. And even though Giuliani polled very strongly against him, it was only John McCain. And then in 2012, only Mitt Romney has a chance against Barack Obama. Meanwhile, in Obama land, while Pew Research gave Mitt Romney a 4-point lead over Barack Obama nationally, in Obama land, Mitt Romney never had a chance against Barack Obama. And they were never really concerned about him. And you never heard that story. You never heard that side of the story.
Yep, absolutely true. His name is Richard Barris. He is the editor of peoplespunditdaily.com. Check him out today. Rich, I wish we had more time. There's so much more to go over, but we'll do this again. Actually, I'm off for 2 weeks, so I apologize. We will be off for the next 2 weeks, but I'll talk to you in 3 weeks.
That sounds great, my friend. It's going to be a great season ahead. We're going to have a lot of fun.
We are indeed. All right. Richard Barris, peoplespunditdaily.com. Check him out today. Just, incredible stuff, and this is going to get better. You watch this infighting because it is going to ramp up to a level. I think we should start a poll. Don Smith Show poll. Who will be the first two to go fist to fist, right? Who will get into fisticuffs? I think I'm going to put my money on Chris Matthews, but I don't know that Rachel Maddow, she's pretty scrappy too. So time for our weekly Vets in the Fight sit-rep brought to us by our friends at Special Operations Speaks and Vets in the Fight.
Hello, all you Vets in the Fight. This is David Miller with your weekly Special Operations Speaks Vets in the Fight sit-rep. Wow, so much to talk about and so little time. We thought we'd bring you a three for this week. First of all, you know that we trust and support our Commander-in-Chief, Donald Trump. But even the best can stumble over bad judgment or poor advice and make poor calls. We've got to push back on an ill-advised memorandum he issued this week, ordering the Pentagon to develop a directive permitting U.S. Service Academy graduates, second lieutenants and ensigns, to defer their active duty obligation, you know, the one they swore an oath to perform, and the U.S. taxpayer, having spent millions of dollars plus on their undergraduate education and preparation for service to the nation, for a number of years while they played professional sports, potentially raking in millions of dollars, while mere mortal soldiers laid on the line for very small bucks. The Obama administration had such a policy as well, and the Department of Defense recognized the injustice, withdrawing the policy last year, using solid logic and national defense priorities as rationale. We quote, in part, Pentagon officials pointed to, quote, successful professional athletes who completed the minimum of 25 months of service before playing sports, such as Roger Staubach, Dallas Cowboys quarterback, 1963 Heisman Trophy winner, and Naval Academy graduate. Staubach became a professional player after serving a tour in Vietnam, end quote. We do not begrudge gifted athletes pursuing their professional careers after they have served their obligation honorably. To do what POTUS proposes is an institutional injustice that defies logic and the military ethos. In addition, there is certainly no guarantee that the service member won't suffer catastrophic injury preventing them from honoring their promise to serve. What then? We urge the Commander-in-Chief to think first of the welfare of the force and to cancel issuance of his directive. Readiness for war is life and death serious stuff. Playing games is not. On the brighter side, we salute the ongoing courageous efforts of Project Veritas. Founder James O'Keefe and crew have the stated mission to, quote, investigate and expose corruption, dishonesty, self-dealing, waste, fraud, and other misconduct in both private and public institutions in order to achieve a more ethical and transparent society, end quote. Their undercover operations are worthy of the OSS in World War II, shining the light on corruption of all sorts. They have run many successful and disturbing investigations from Philadelphia to San Diego, exposing organizations within and outside government. Some of the most notable: Baltimore Acorn advising a Veritas agent posing as a prostitute how to get subsistence for underage illegals and evade tax scrutiny. A veterans administrator showing that the VA's dysfunction and over-medication of vets and admitting that sometimes the VA is the cause of veterans' health issues. And, of course, Planned Parenthood. In one of the most vile and shocking reports, Project Veritas filmed Planned Parenthood executives glibly talking about the profitability of selling infant baby parts. The list goes on and on, covering Medicare and election fraud, teachers' union cover-ups of illegal and reprehensible teacher behavior, and recently the Google revelations of blatant election meddling. By the way, we're happy to report that Representative Crenshaw, Republican Texas, who SOS supported in 2018, is intimately involved with untangling the Google web of lies, deceit, and leftist activism. Project Veritas themselves are victim of the Google suborning of free speech, having their insider information YouTube video, critical of Google, removed. We need more patriots like James O'Keefe and his crew of truth seekers. O'Keefe actually invites Americans concerned for our republic to be engaged by coming forth as an insider, going undercover, working for Veritas headquarters. We wish them continued success, although we really wish we didn't have to. The last of our trifecta is the clown show that happened Wednesday and Thursday evenings. Maybe, as Kamala Harris said, a food fight is more apt description. After Wednesday's sound system fiasco and the Beto, I'm sorry for being white, O'Rourke's and Cory Spartacus Booker's obsequious pandering en Espanol to Hispanics, you might think the networks would be on their toes. Sadly for them, no. Chuck Todd, ever the lefty sycophant, had little or no control over the raucous bunch as each tried desperately to outwoke the other. Moscow Bernie and Creepy Joe clung to the torch as Swalwell and Harris tried to rip it out of their liver-spotted hands. Quite a show, actually. Can't wait to see which one gets to face President Trump and hear those cringe-worthy words, "You're fired." This is David Miller for Special Operations Speaks and Vets in a Fight Everywhere. Until next week, may God bless our exceptional republic. De Opresso Liber.
Have you ever been frustrated when you go to the doctor and are asked to fill out forms over and over again? And you're asked for information that you don't remember, or you have to submit the same form to multiple organizations. And each time you are asked to fill out the same form by hand. What about filling out business or legal forms, all manually? Maybe you've spent a lot of time filling out a form, made sure that everything is correct, and oops, the person who re-entered the data into the computer system made several mistakes. Why couldn't you do it from home in advance, where you could find all of the necessary documents? Now you can at Formateer.com. The next time you need a form filled out, the information can be found right at your fingertips. If you're an individual, you may find some forms ready to use on Formateer.com, or we may be able to create a custom form for you at a very low cost or no cost at all. If you're a small business, Formateer.com will be happy to create a set of forms or a complete data entry solution for your business needs. If you're a business that provides software, IT solutions, or both to another business, Formateer.com has a great solution for you as well. Our parent company, RenderX, provides software and solutions to a very diversified group, from individuals to Fortune 500 companies. Even the United States government budget is formatted with RenderX software. With Formateer.com, customers can fill out forms from their homes in advance when and where they have all the required information, or they can edit information that has changed if they filled out the form previously. No writing for them, no data re-entry for you. Form filling solutions for businesses or individuals at Formateer.com. That's Formateer.com.
Is it time to expand and open offices in Sao Paulo and London? A long-term lease will be like a short, tight noose.
And furnishing those will be as much fun as a tax audit.
You guys always give me such great negative feedback.
Fear and doubt holding you back? Now there's a new way to work to minimize risk. With Regis, you get fully equipped offices without a long-term lease, a receptionist, conference rooms, and over 1,100 locations around the world. Regis is the new way to work. Call now and get 2 months free.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was an easier, less expensive option than a traditional lawyer? At LegalZoom, you get personalized services for your family and your business that's 100% guaranteed. So go to LegalZoom.com today for personalized, affordable legal protection.
Are you among the 64% of Americans who believe our country is going in the wrong direction? If yes, then eVoiceAmerica.com is the political take action site we've all been waiting for. And it's really free. eVoiceAmerica provides your personal list of elected reps every time you log on. This makes it so easy to email your opinions and e-votes on top issues directly to each of our D.C. elected representatives. eVoice then publishes our e-vote majority percentages on top issues to each member of Congress and the media. Now, for the first time in history, we can know what millions of American citizens are telling Congress. No more gridlock. Join the new American majority using eVoiceAmerica.com, putting Americans in control of Congress. Visit eVoiceAmerica.com today. It's free and easy to use. That's eVoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent. I'm on the Don Smith Radio Show, where it's okay to be a real conservative.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Hope you're having a great Saturday so far. It is my pleasure to have my next guest on the program. He is the executive director and editor of the Citizens Commission on National Security. You probably remember him. He used to be with Accuracy and Media. He was Accuracy and Media, and somebody I've got a lot of respect for, Roger Aronoff. Welcome back to the Don Smith Show.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you, Don.
Well, it's great to have you here. Now, we saw two nights of Democratic debates, and boy, I don't know. It was something I've never really seen anything like this before, and not that it was shocking to me, Roger, but what was your takeaway over these massively filled stages over two nights?
Well, it was a circus, to say the least, but what caught my attention, I would say, was how predictable it was in the fact that the anchors, the people asking the questions, never really went after them, and they kind of skewed the questions to the left. In other words, how do we get to Medicare for all, or, you know, complete government-run health insurance? And they rather than challenging the idea of that, why that might not be a good idea, it was only to push them in that direction. I guess the moment that stood out the most to me was when they said, would you have government health care cover illegal immigrants, and every one of them raised their hand. And that was, you know, an incredible moment, really, to think about it, and it's one that I'm sure whoever wins the nomination is going to ditch that position and move to the center, as they say, you know, during the general election, because it just seems like such a preposterous position to take. And then, you know, the follow-up on that would be, well, how much health care, and is there any limit to the amount of health care, and, you know, hospitalization, and you know, what if they get cancer? Would you find them the best treatment possible forever? And, you know, I mean, they don't follow up with these questions, and they didn't really ask the tough questions that about, say, abortion, about you know, just the illegal immigration in general, but they did, over the course of that, reveal that They want to legalize coming across the border, and once you get here, you get free health care. And you know, follow that up. Or do they need a home? Are you going to let them be on the streets? Or are you going to provide everyone who comes here illegally a place to live, enough food, you know, guaranteed income? Or where does it end?
Exactly.
So.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think you hit a key point here, because it's always been the case where you go through the primaries and, yeah, you can be a little bit to the left, or even on our side, you can be a little to the right, and you've got to come back to the middle a little bit. So that was a big Bill Clinton, I guess, a great example of that. How in the world do you come back to the middle after you've stood on this stage and you raised your hand and you said all illegals are going to get free health care, and you said they're going to get this and they're going to get that, and we're going to cancel student debt? And how in the world do you come from that far to the left and actually come back and try to reach these people that you've probably alienated in this process?
Well, as one of my other favorite talk show hosts, Chris Plant, up here in Washington, D.C. area, likes to say, if it wasn't for double standards, liberals wouldn't have any standards at all. and so they don't really have much of a problem just switching, because they know that CNN and MSNBC will provide full cover for them all the way. They always do. They always have. And, you know, they'll credit them with evolving rather than flip-flopping, you know, and it's that kind of thing. I mean, they always will be given the benefit of the doubt through most of the media. Well, they'll blast Fox News, of course, for being, you know, the arm of the Republican Party, which, as most of us know who watch it, I mean, there are plenty of people. I mean, Shep Smith, he's a Trump hater as much as Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon are, and they have Donna Brazile on Fox News. They have plenty of people to take the other side of it, and they treat them respectfully there. You don't find that when they have Republicans or so-called conservatives on CNN or MSNBC. The other title they have is, you know, never Trumper. So it's only a rare moment when they bring someone on who is really, say, a defender of Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me get to this, because you bring up a key point here. With us, it's, I mean, on the right, it's Fox News. So there's Fox News, and then there's media outlets. There's other online kind of outlets. But on TV, it's Fox News. The problem that I think these guys have is that you've got a pretty vast mainstream liberal media, and they're all going to have a different horse in this thing. So I've been predicting that this was going to really be the kickoff after the debates, where they were going to get into a lot of infighting, and you were going to find out who stands with who. And I saw it last week. I saw an interview on MSNBC. They had Bernie Sanders on, and they were defending Joe Biden's position. He wasn't really saying they were personally, this is the key, Roger, they were personally invested in this, which is something obviously you're not supposed to do when you're in the media. But I want to play this clip. It's a minute-long clip. But this is so important, because this is the infighting that's already starting. And I think we're going to start a pool here on the Don Smith Show on who are going to be the first two media people to get into an actual fist fight on live TV. And I'm picking Rachel Maddow. But I want to play this clip for you. This is what's going on now after the debate, because Joe Biden, in my opinion, really looked bad. And he did not look like the guy who can swing to the middle and do what he was supposed to do. But here, listen to this clip, and I want your reaction to this.
Okay. Who could be Trump? And did you see anyone on stage tonight that could be Trump?
I'm still sticking with an idealized version of the Joe Biden we want. Okay, if Joe Biden we want, and then you pair him with the right candidate, yes. I still, in my heart of hearts, don't see anybody on that stage tonight that would be Trump.
Let's just identify this for what it is, and then we have that
pure guesswork a year and a half away from
absolutely.
And so it has, and Donnie, I say this respectfully, zero value.
As I disagree with you. Know what? I disagree with that, Lawrence. It's understanding human behavior. Don't tell me it has zero value. It's understanding human behavior.
It's a guess. It's a wild guess, Donnie.
It's understanding human behavior. And I guarantee you, 90% of our audience
is a wild guess. There's no science in it. There's nothing in it.
no signs of any of this.
And no one can make it. You can put any name you want in the wild guess that you just made, and it doesn't make it
I
true.
I am understanding what Donald Trump, the way he connects with this country and the strength he exudes. We need to exude a stronger strength. It's
this
not
is,
a policy
this is the
discussion.
Pure guesswork section of the discussion.
This is a guy who's done this for 30 years and watched human behavior.
Now then,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Donnie Deutsch and Lawrence O'Donnell, and obviously they have different horses in this race. What's your take on that?
Right. Well, I was actually watching when that happened, and then I noticed the next night Donnie Deutsch was not back. Lawrence O'Donnell, who has his nightly show, was. But I think it showed, you know, the pecking order at that network. But look, Lawrence O'Donnell is someone who has said, I am not a liberal. I am a socialist, you know, on the far left. I mean, he said that if you just Google that, you'll find it. I mean, I've written about it. Others have as well. But, so they really are torn in a way. I mean, they want to – I mean, they're so – Trump derangement syndrome has them all so far to the left and so – you know, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is considered a leader in the party, a thought leader, if nothing else. And so these ideas that they're coming forth with, you know, socialism and that it's they're trying to make that a respectable ideology term and all that. And so I think that's where O'Donnell's coming from. He's for that, for making that respectable. And I think Deutsch is warning them, you know, hey, this is not going to sell across the country. So, you know, don't necessarily like to, you know, identify with Donnie Deutsch. But in this case, you know, I would say he was more on the money than O'Donnell. But O'Donnell is the heavier weight over at MSNBC. So he's going to continue to be on there. You know, I remember a few years ago, I guess maybe it was 2008, they took Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann off of covering the political debates and because it was so clear that they were obviously biased. Well, now everybody on that thing is biased. I mean, Chuck Todd, for instance, there's seen a little bit about this over the years, but his wife has done a lot of work for Bernie Sanders' campaign to the tune of millions of dollars into the family coffers of the Todd family. And he never, when he gets on with Bernie Sanders, never says that, you know, just want to point out there's a, you know, if whether he calls it a conflict of interest or not, but you know, I should point out that my wife makes money off of the Sanders campaign. Well, he never feels he has to mention that. And, you know, when he was challenged about that on some radio show, he said, well, that's my wife. You know, that's not me. I don't have to do that, you know. So it's just so clear that these people are – they don't want to hurt these people, but, you know, they're faced with this dilemma. There's 25 of them. You know, I was looking the other day to see what happened in 2016 when the Republicans started with 17 candidates. Well, the first one to drop out was in September of 2015, the year before the election. That was Rick Perry. But there were still 12 of the 17 in the race as of February 1st, 2016, which was when the Iowa caucuses were. So I really expect, you know, even Marianne Williamson, these people aren't going to drop out until the Iowa caucuses and they're, you know, left behind there. I mean, they have their various reasons for it. Some of them are looking for book deals. Some of them are looking for a position in a new cabinet if the Democrats win. You know, some of them just for future, maybe to be vice president or something. But who knows? But they're in it, and it's going to be a problem for the debates. It's going to be a problem as well as, you know, it divides the money that goes to the Democrats. And you see what happened just in this last 2 days. I think the dominant feeling was that Biden was clearly in the lead, headed for the nomination, and now all of a sudden you feel the shift. That they're all saying, oh, no, it's Kamala Harris. She's now the leader. So it's going to there're going to be twists and turns along the way, and, you know, she'll come under closer scrutiny, and they'll go after her. And so it's quite a ride, and I think Trump is enjoying the whole thing.
I kind of am, too. I got my popcorn, Roger, and, I had enough for two nights. So let me get into this, because I think this is really – I want your input on this, your feedback on my view of this. What I see going on today is I see, of course, you've got the establishment, and the establishment is typically always deciding who that candidate is. For us, in 2008, it had to be McCain. He was the only one who could win. Then 2012, it had to be Mitt Romney. He's the only one who could win. We broke that with Donald Trump, because the people wanted Donald Trump, and finally the establishment actually, when I say establishment, I mean the RNC, they finally got behind Trump, and they said, okay, we're going to help. If this is what you want, we don't think it's going to win, but we're going to get behind you. This is where I see the Democrats right now. The Democrats, it had to be Hillary, and then Hillary lost. Now I think they're trying to say it has to be Joe Biden, but I think that the big change here is the debate performance of Joe Biden. I think that maybe is having him maybe have some emergency meetings here. But I think they're in the same place that we were, where the establishment wants to dictate who this is going to be, and they're going to tell them who their candidate is, and they're going to like it. And I think they've got enough pushback right now to maybe make it be somebody else other than Joe Biden. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. You know, the voters will definitely have their say, and Biden has never done well in Iowa. So even if he does survive this initial stumble, and again, you know, the things that they left out, that if this had been Republicans and NBC questioning them, you know, they would have asked Biden about his groping women, about his son with the Ukraine, China, things that we all on the right know about because we listen to talk radio and we watch, you know, Hannity and this and that. They don't even, you know, in their universe, those things don't even exist. I mean, there was one stumble when a guy on ABC asked him about those the other day, and he just walked away from it, and I didn't see any follow-up on any of the other networks. But they don't get put in a, you know, challenged and put on the defensive, and, you know, that may happen eventually if they, you know, get into real debates, and if, you know, there's somebody on the right who starts asking questions like that, and he won't have had the experience of answering it. So yes, I mean, could it be someone like, could Tulsi Gabbard, you know, emerge after Iowa? Could you know, whether it's going to be Mayor Pete or one of the other underdogs who we don't really see right now as being a potential candidate? I mean, my original thinking was it was going to come down to three: Bernie, Joe Biden, and Kamala. And, you know, but that easily could change. I mean, we could be seeing Biden just in the middle of a slow moving train wreck right now. I mean, to your point, I think the establishment does have their view and who they want, but, you know, this time it's not necessarily as solid. I think they've all understood the weakness and the potential problem for the party with either Biden or Bernie. And so where do they go after that? Is, you know, the safer move, is it Amy Klobuchar, who's viewed as more centrist? And so I think they're even feeling their way through it, but they want to make sure they don't do too much damage to any of them until get a little closer to game day.
Well, let me ask, as somebody who's been doing this for a long time, you've been around, you've seen the media, how they operate, and being a part of that industry, what do you think about the fact that this is something I think is unique in this cycle here, and that's Joe Biden? So here's Joe Biden, who's gone around his entire life calling people racist, and, you know, this person said this, and he's played a lot of race cards on a lot of people. It's getting played on him now. And I have not seen this. We saw a little bit of it in 2008 with Hillary and Barack Obama, but nobody made a big deal of it. This, they're making a big deal out of this. What is it like for you to watch this and to see somebody on the left, especially somebody like Joe Biden, who, like I said, has played the race card several times, still is, getting it played on him? He's got the dirty end of the stick, Roger, pointing at him now.
Yeah, look, he's somewhat protected, of course, by 8 years as Obama's vice president. And so it raises the question, would Obama have had someone that he thought was even the slightest bit racist as his vice president? So I think he's got some cover there. And you know, this issue of busing is something that, you know, it was a different issue in a different time back then. But, you know, look, that brings up this whole history of racism in the Democratic Party. I mean, that's where the Klan was. That's where, you know, Jim Crow was. All of the history, all of these people. I mean, it was funny how Casey Hunt and other journalists were first saying that Eastland and Talmadge were Republicans. They, you know, they're reporters, and they didn't even realize, you know, they thought, oh, when they were talking about Biden reaching across the aisle to get support, it was within the Democratic Party. And, you know, if anyone you've seen Dinesh D'Souza's movie, you know, about, mm-hmm. you know, the history of the Democratic Party and racism, and it's deep there. And look, Hillary Clinton, her mentor being Robert Byrd, and Bill Clinton's relationship with Fulbright, and all these people who were formerly segregationists, you know, it's very selectively used. So if they start using this against Biden, I think it's an indication that they've decided he's not the guy. We got to get rid of him.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you this, Doug. I'll let you go here. What is, we talked about how you're the executive director and editor of Citizens Commission on National Security. Tell my listeners a little bit about that. Where can they go to keep up with Roger Aronoff? And is there any way they can help you guys?
Yes. Thank you so much. The website is ccnationalsecurity.org. That's CC for Citizens Commission. Citizens Commission on nationalsecurity.org. We are sort of evolved out of the Citizens Commission on Benghazi, and it includes Alan West and Tom McInerney, Paul Vallely. We recently lost our dear leader, Ace Lyons.
Yeah.
Have an incredible group of people, and we're a national security watchdog organization, and we've got a lot of great connections in Capitol Hill and at the White House, and we're planning on bringing up all these issues, not just foreign policy, because we think things like election integrity, the borders, these issues that we're going to be addressing, you know, we're new, we're getting going, we could use help and support.
NationalSecurity.org,
and you can sign up to receive our sort of irregular emails when things happening and see the articles. And all the members, you can go on and look at all the bios. They have incredible people like Larry Bailey, 27-year Navy SEAL, mm-hmm. the three founding members of Special Operations Speaks. We used to have Pete Hoekstra, the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, until he left to go become ambassador to the Netherlands. So quite a group of people, and, you know, we've come together to try to strengthen America's national security on many different levels. And I thank you, so much.
And you do a great
for having
job. And
us
you do a great job. You do a great
thank
job
you.
With it. And I'm going to be with our friend General Valley here in a couple of weeks, spend the weekend
great.
Out there in Montana, and looking forward to that. So, Roger Aronoff, the site is ccnationalsecurity.org. Roger, real pleasure to have you on the program, and let's do it again sometime.
You bet. I'd love to. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Roger Aronoff, great organization, and those guys do a lot of great work. And just go to their site and look at the people that are involved. And this was one of the things that I think it's just as important. We look at the things that took place in this debate. But one of the things, and the things that they talked about, it completely revolved around, what can we do for people who illegally entered this country? Think about that. But what didn't they talk about? I mean,